Last episode, boys and girls, there wasn't enough time for the bit before the theme music. I didn't get it all done. I was a bit disappointed with myself. However, this week, there's loads of time. I've got loads of time. Loads of time. Yep. Loads of time. Time, loads. I got loads of time sitting here the bit before the theme music. This is the bit before the theme music. You know you love it.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. Here I am. I'm your host, Jack. Yeah, we discussed that in the theme music. Let's start off with the interactive bit. Do you like stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind stuff. Some stuff. Not all stuff, though. And scene. Okay, that was something. Before we start the show, I've got a couple of things I want to share. The first one, I got an email from a gentleman by the name of David Ferguson, and he said, I don't know if you remember, I didn't remember, he said, I was thinking about next year maybe becoming Santa, and let me tell you kids, he has, and he's bought the suit, and he sent me a picture, and I'll tell you kids, he looks the business. He looks really good. He's got the big old beard, of course, his natural one, his own one, and this fantastic suit, very bright red, nice, lovely suit it is. And what I like the most is the smile. He really does smile like Santa Claus. Fantastic it is. Now, I will say this, I'll check with him first, and I might put the picture up on Facebook and share it with you. The only thing is, his hair is still quite dark in places, but I'm guessing, because he sent me the picture in October, maybe he's not whited it out yet. I'm guessing nearer Christmas, he'll actually white it all out. And hopefully he'll send me another picture then. But yeah, even if he doesn't white it all out, it looks pretty damn good. So thanks for sending that through, David. And I wish you the best of luck. And one day, I hope to get out there and don the robes. But I've still got a few years to go first. And also, I'm a bit skinny. Yeah, no one likes a skinny Santa Claus. Well, some people like a skinny Santa Claus. I don't know what people think about. I'm not skinny. I'm just not. Let's just stop body shaming me, okay? Body shame someone else. I'm into body shaming, just not when people body shame me, okay? Yeah, also, Benji Pearson, he didn't send this through. He posted it on Facebook under one of a previous post of mine. He sent a picture of him. Now, you probably remember this because you remember everything I talk about in every episode. And Benji asked me, like, what sort of things he should bear in mind if he was going to dress as the Ghost of Christmas Present for Halloween. Now, a couple of years ago, he dressed as Jacob Marley, and I tell you what, he looked fantastic. Well, he's outdone himself. He looks phenomenal as the Ghost of Christmas Present. If I was making a movie version, I'd cast him. He looks incredible. So I've tried to post the picture that he posted. I couldn't do it. I don't know what I'm doing with Facebook. Won't lie to you. So Benji, could you please send me that picture direct and then I'll share it with everyone because I know they'd love to see it. He really looks incredible. He's got the long flowing hair. He's got the long robe. It just looks, yeah, blinding. Blinding he does. Better than a lot of the versions I've seen and a damn sight better than the one I watched that I'll be talking about in this episode. So fantastic work, Benji. Fantastic work. So I think that's it for housekeeping. Possibly. There might be other stuff that I've forgotten about. But right now, we're going to get started on the show with this. Boys and girls, do you remember last episode I was talking about Starrygazy Pie, and that was a Cornish tradition, which is a part of the UK, it's a county in the corner, bottom left corner of the UK. And while I was researching that, I found out about a few other Cornish customs, and there's another one I want to talk about today. It's only a short one, but it's called the Cornish bunch. Now, it has got other names. I also saw it called the Cornish kissing bush. And what it is it's a specific type of reef. You know, like you'd hang on your door. Well, you don't hang this on your door. You're supposed to hang it, I guess it was like in the middle of your main living room in the old days. You'd hang it from the rafters in the centre of the room. And it's very similar to a wreath, but it's like two-dimensional. So you'd get two circles and they'd be at 90 degrees interlocked, if that makes sense. So it's sort of like in a ball shape. Yeah, so you'd have four pieces coming down and round. Is this making sense to you? It's very simple. Two circles, turn them at 90 degrees and then interlock them. That's your wreath, and it's made with the standards. You've got your holly in there, your mistletoe and your ivy, and you'd wrap them around a withy frame. Now withy is willow, so you'd use very thin willow branches, and willow branches were often used for basket making or thatching because they're very thin and they're very sinuous, so you can use them for like winding and tying stuff together. And what you do is you wrap it all around this withy frame, and in the middle of the circles you'd put like an apple hanging there, or maybe a couple of apples, and then on top, well, this is interesting because some said on top and some said at the bottom, you put a candle as well. And this gets lit on the 20th of December. You see, it's not right up to Christmas because this was a pagan thing. And because the winter solstice was on the 21st, they'd light it on the 20th, not the eve of the winter solstice. Yeah, and then they dance underneath it. Yeah, and apparently they used to dance the Macarena. Possibly. I don't know what they were dancing. Maybe they're doing the Hokey Cokey, or you might call it the Hokey Pokey. I don't know what dancing they were doing. They were doing some sort of dancing. Could have been tap dancing. I don't know. I could sit here listing dances. I don't know. It's as simple as that. Pointless me even listing any dances. But my money is on the Macarena. So you dance under it. And because it's got mistletoe in it, yeah, maybe have a kiss. Why not while you're there? Yeah. Merry Christmas. Now, what's good is I went on a few websites reading about this. And most of them said the same sort of stuff. That it was an old tradition where you'd hang it in the middle of your living room. And back in those days, like, that could be like the kitchen and the living room all in one sort of thing. And it was like a centerpiece. I guess before you had a tree, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you had a tree as well. I don't know. And then one of the websites actually tells you how to make your own. And what's cool is they describe exactly how it's made, with an apple hanging in the middle of it. And it's made with withy to create a framework. And then they begin by saying, get some chicken wire. And they explain about how you make these two circles out of chicken wire. Wrap a load of, at least they're still using the holly, ivy and mistletoe. And then it says, instead of an apple, why not use a Christmas bauble? So I'll tell you why not. Because then it's just some blooming two wreaths together with a bauble in it. If I'm going to do it properly, I'm going to do it properly. Now, I didn't read anything about LED lights going in it instead of a candle, but I bet they would have. I didn't bother getting that far. To be honest, I switched off when they got to bauble. So, yeah. But like I said, some say you put the candle at the bottom and others say you put the candle at the top. It's got to be safer putting it at the top, hasn't it? Much safer. If you put it at the bottom, if it gets too hot, you're going to burn your apple. Nice warm apple. Nice cooked apple, maybe. Yeah, so that's what you do. And that is the Cornish kissing bush, or bunch. Yeah, a Christmas tradition that's still carried out in some places in Cornwall. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
We find here at the Tiki Bar that alcohol mixes well with just about everything. Well, except maybe good decisions. So is there anyone better to celebrate the holidays with than Rowan Atkinson? I mean, his small role as the jewelry salesperson in Love Actually provides comic relief. Or his appearance near the end of the film is what allows Sam to sneak by the ticket agent to confess his feelings to Joanna. How about his hilarious Christmas special when the silent Mr. Bean unplugs the lights at Harrods, plays with dinosaurs in a nativity scene, and, in classic fashion, gets a turkey stuck on his head? And then there is Edmund Blackadder. Or, in a twist on Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Blackadder, who is the kindest and loveliest man in England. In this version, the spirit of Christmas shows Blackadder how, if he turns evil, he will enjoy power and fortune. And after being shown his bleak fate for being nice, Blackadder becomes a slimy, scheming coward. However, before his conversion, when he describes another man as a jolly fellow, Baldrick, his loyal servant, replies that he looks like a fat git. When Ebenezer Blackadder tries to soften Baldrick's biting opinion, claiming if one were to peel away the layers of a fat git, you'll probably find a thin git, Baldrick offers up. It's funny, but even more relevant, a do you hear what I hear signal. Git? Git? Here in the States, git is a word that they use in the South or out West to mean get away from me. It's a sassy term and not considered proper American English. However, for the Brits, git is also slang, but it's to indicate a worthless person. It is rooted in the old English word begetan, used to describe an effort to forcefully attain or seize something. Get appears to be a shorter form of beget, or what is got. It evolved in the 14th century to mean procreate. A get was what had been begotten, such as a child or offspring. By 1500, it started to be used in Scotland and Northern England for a misbegotten child, insinuating that offspring was illegitimate. By about 1700, get lapsed from the language, but then it reappeared in the 1940s with a different spelling. Get became git. It was a general term of ridicule for someone considered to be useless or incompetent. It is most often used to describe male rather than female. By calling someone a git, you're invoking the old word get, meaning a bastard. Now still, in parts of Northern England, Northern Ireland, and Scotland, get is still used instead of git. For example, in the Beatles song, I'm So Tired, on the White Album, the lyrics refer to Sir Walter Raleigh as a stupid get. Which made me wonder, in the Beatles song, Get Back, was JoJo a bastard? Cheers and Happy Christmas.
Well, that was a good one, wasn't it? Goodness me. I just thought the word git just was like, git, you're a git. It's a word I use. It's a word I've heard people use. You know, it's a common word that people do say. Yeah, quite often tight git is a really common one. Oh, you're a tight git. Yeah, well done with that one, Bob. That was really interesting. Bob's going to be back in a bit. But right now, boys and girls, we're doing this.
Humbug.
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 Humbug. Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is called A Christmas Karen. Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with the term Karen. It's a bit of a modern meme. I'm not going to go into what a Karen is. If you don't know, look it up. If you do know, then I don't need to tell you. Obviously, that's how things work. Now, this is a very low budget production. I saw it on Amazon. I'm not sure where else you'd be able to find it, but is it worth me saying it's worth checking out? Well, wait till the end. You can make up your own mind. It was written by John Binkowski and directed by John Binkowski and Lisa Enos Smith. And it stars Michelle Sims. Now, to be honest with you, most of the actors in this is their most prominent role. There wasn't a single person I recognised in it. So this version is a modern day one. And I was thinking about this the other day. I'm thinking there's probably more modern day versions come out each year than productions of the original story. I think I'm probably right about that. I'm not 100% sure, but you think about it, there's so many. You go on Amazon or you go on YouTube and there's a lot of new ones coming out, but they all seem to be set modern day. I know I've covered a couple of modern day ones and also a few where the protagonist is a female as well. Anyway, like I said, this one, the protagonist is called Karen, and I want to try and rattle through it. I don't want to make you feel like you've watched the whole thing, and there is a lot of stuff I've got to cover, but one of the things I want to focus on is the way they've done the ghosts, but we'll get to that when we get to that. First off, we start with a little girl, and she's selling hot chocolate, like you'd have a lemonade stand, but she's got a hot chocolate stand, because it's at Christmas, and Karen turns up, because she's called the police, and the little girl's mum comes running out, and the policeman goes, well, I need to speak to you about this, madam, and Karen says to the little girl, you better scat, and after she's gone, she helps herself to a cup of hot chocolate, which is nice. Now, the little girl who's selling the hot chocolate, she's black. That is part of it. I do need to mention that. And she's the next door neighbour to Karen, which we find out more about later. That's one of the more prominent characters in this version. Then we see Karen at a cafe and she's having a cup of coffee with her friends. And she complains to the waiter about it and says, this isn't what I ordered. So he has to go and change it. And while she's complaining, she says, oh, and I want one of those biscottis as well. And the man eating the biscotti, I'm going to play it for you, actually. Have a listen to this.
And I want a biscotti.
These are an extra $4, but they're really good.
No biscotti.
That kind of reminded me of the bit in the Alistair Sim version where he says, bread's halfpenny more, sir. No more bread. Yeah, that just reminded me of that. But I like the guy that says it. I'm watching it, I'm thinking, it seems like he's got sort of like a cameo, this guy. Is he someone I should know? No, that was his only acting credit. Now, when the guy in the coffee shop takes the coffee back, one of the girls behind the counter goes, this happens all the time, and all she does is she pours the coffee into a takeaway cup, puts the lid on it and gives it back to him, and he goes and gives that to Karen, and she's very happy with her coffee now. Then she's driving down the street, and then we see this person holding a sign up, a cardboard sign, and Karen hands her her empty coffee cup. I won't go into that. We see the cardboard sign a few times, it changes every time. And then Karen is not paying attention, hits a little boy who's riding his bike, and she gets out and has a go at him because she's got a tiny scratch on her car, and the kid gets off and rides off. Then she turns up at the supermarket, parks in a disabled bay, and an old bloke comes out on a Zimmer frame and like tuts at her, but she don't care because she's a Karen. Then in the supermarket, she's bought all her stuff and she's got a coupon for a free bottle of wine, which is out of date. And the cashier refuses the coupon. And she's like, right, I need to speak to your manager. Turns out the manager's not there. It's an assistant manager. This isn't good enough. Karen's going to get on the phone to corporate, but they're privately owned. And some bloke in the queue goes, do you know what? I'll pay for one of her bottles of wine if she's going to leave. Now, at this point, I want to mention the guy doing the bagging up at the till, because we see him again later. So I'll just mention him. He's just an old guy, maybe a little bit older than Karen. I don't know. Anyway, so Karen goes home and pours herself a bottle of wine. And when I say pours herself a bottle of wine, she literally pours herself a whole bottle of wine into one glass. And the whole of the next scene, she's drinking this bottle of wine. Then the doorbell goes. There's carol singers. She tells them to get lost. And then there's another knock at the door. And it's someone holding a sign again. And they move the sign out of the way. And it's Karen's old boss, who's called Jackie Marley. Yeah, Jacob Marley. You see what they did there? Very clever. So Karen sort of slams the door on her, and then she goes to open the oven to get her pie out, and who comes crawling out of it with some pretty dodgy special effects. They're not awful. They would have been really good 20 years ago. They're not great for this day and age. This old boss comes crawling out of the oven, and her old boss talks about the fact that she's been dead 20 years, which I thought was interesting. Like, they've gone, instead of going 7 years, it's a full 20 years that she's been dead. And we get a flashback of when she died, and she actually died in Karen's house, because Karen was having like a house-to-house party for the whole street, and she died eating a bacon-wrapped tater tot. Then Jackie Marley tells Karen what's going to happen, and they go out to the front door, and she opens the door, and there's loads of ghosts walking around. And I thought that was a decent nod to what happens in the book, you know, where you've got the spirits outside, and she says, you're going to end up like me. And I'd sort of noticed that she didn't have any chains, and then suddenly she has got chains around her wrist, and she lifts her skirt, and she's got a chastity belt on, covered in chains. You see, so that's how she's chained up, because she was had a thing about sleeping with other people's husbands. Anyway, then she explains that she's going to be visited by three ghosts, and off she goes. Just before she leaves, Jackie Marley says the first ghost is coming in 1 hour, and it's 6 o'clock because an hour later it's 7 o'clock. And she's on her bed and she's fallen asleep reading her book, which has the title on the cover, Make Them Speak English by Phil McCracken, which I thought was hilarious. She's woken up at 7 o'clock by the ghost of Christmas Past. He comes in and he's a gay black man, and it's important that I mention that because that comes back later. So the ghost says, touch my hand, and Karen touches his hand and they instantly go back in time. Then she lets go and they're back in her room. So this is what they've decided to do with this ghost. She has to be touching his hand to go back to a certain point in time. That's what they do. They go back to when she was a little girl, and they go back to her old house, right? She stood in the street and she sees these two boys running up that she used to know from when she was young. And she goes, oh, so they can't see us, right? And he's like, I didn't say that. And she holds out her arm and the kid just runs into it, and she like clotheslines him and he collapses on the floor. And she's like, oh, I'm really sorry. And little boy gets up and goes, stranger danger, and runs off. So the point of this one is, when she goes into the past, she can be seen. Remember this. They knock on her door and she's like, I don't want to see my parents again. She goes, your parents aren't here. They left you alone in the evening. So she goes in and she sees herself as a little girl. And she's there chatting to herself as a little girl. And in the house, there's like an aluminum tree. Aluminum, that's how they call it in the States. I say aluminium, but we never had aluminium trees in the UK. Yeah, so there's this aluminum tree and she's got this TV show on, and it's a Christmas carol. And she says something like, oh, they play that for 24 hours every year at this time of year. It's a black and white version of a Christmas carol, one I'd never seen before. It was filmed just for this film. So then she chats to herself as a little girl for a bit. Nothing really happens there, but she sees herself as a little girl. Then the ghost of Christmas past says, touch my chest. So this time he touches his chest. And they're still in the house because the ghost can't magically transport her. They have to walk around wherever they go, or, well, you'll find out other ways they transport themselves around. So she's touching his chest. And they go forward about, I don't know, maybe 10 years. And now she's got a little brother. But here's the thing. They're standing right behind her while the young version of her is having a go at her brother, who comes in dressed as his mum, in his mum's clothes. Or is it dressed as her clothes? I'm not sure. I wasn't paying attention. I watched it 3 times. Anyway, the point is, if he walked out wearing these clothes, the first thing he'd notice is a gay black man and a middle-aged white woman stood behind his sister. They're not hiding behind anything. They're there. Okay, but no, they have a big argument, and then he suddenly spots them. He goes, oh, you need a new babysitter. And she's like, no, I'm not your babysitter. Weird. She lets go of his chest, and now they're back in present day, but in the house she grew up as a kid. And some bloke sat watching TV and looks up, runs off, comes back with a gun, and starts shooting at him. So they run off outside. Goes to Christmas yet to come, claps his hand. And an Uber turns up. It's not called an Uber, but you know, it's an Uber. So don't forget, this is modern day now, in an Uber. And the Uber driver recognises her as a previous passenger who complained about him and got a free ride because she'd complained about him. So he didn't like her and he tells her to get out. So they get out and they still got to walk to the next place. They get to the next place and she's like, what are we doing here in the warehouse district? He's like, hold on. And this time he turns around and says, right, touch it. And he sticks his bum out and she's just about to touch it. He goes, not really, just hold on to my belt, but don't let go. This takes them back in time again to a pub she used to work at called, get this, the Fizzy Pig. Yeah, not Fezziwigs, the Fizzy Pig. Really clever what they did there. So they go in and she works there behind the bar, and the owner of the Fizzy Pig, who's a great guy apparently, says it's Christmas Eve and this is when the management go behind the bar and the staff get to come over the bar, but before they get over the bar they've got to dance on the bar, and the best dancer gets this. And it's like a Christmas wreath with loads of $20 bills on it. So they get up on the bar, and the thing is, two of them are dancing, Karen and this other girl. The other girl's black. I'm not making a point about that. This is part of the plot, and she's a much better dancer than Karen, and they're both dancing. Karen's a bit sort of awkward and the other one's not really getting into it, and then Karen falls off the bar. So the other girl gets the wreath and Karen picks herself up off the floor, and apparently this is the reason why the young Karen now hates black people. Yeah, there you go. Now Karen says she needs the toilet, so that's where they go, to the toilet. And they're in the toilet, and at this point the ghost of Christmas past takes off an earring and gives it to her and says, right, from now on you don't need to touch me because you're wearing the earring. She's like, couldn't we done this at the start? And he's like, well, we could have, but he was doing it to annoy her, which is something, I suppose. And then they go forward in time. Now get this, right, the Fizzy Pig gets bought out, that's a bar, gets bought out, gets turned into Pigtails, which is a beauty parlor. She carries on working. Yeah, they just keep her on. You think, wouldn't you try and get someone in who's trained to do beauty? Don't need to. I'll just get this bird that already works in this building to work in my beauty salon. That's what they do. I don't get it. It's fine. Let's just accept it. Instead of going to another place where she worked, okay, it's fine. Now we find out that she's working with her brother, okay, who's really gay now. He was a bit gay before, now he's really gay. And Karen is his supervisor. She's not very nice to him, and she's sort of bossing him around. And then her boss comes in, Jackie, you know, the one we met earlier. And it's clear that Karen is really trying to impress Jackie, her boss. And it turns out this is the same day when Jackie goes to the party later and dies. Yeah, chokes on a bacon-wrapped tater tot. Now, while this whole scene is going on, Karen and the Ghost of Christmas Past are hiding behind a Christmas tree. And when I say hiding, they ain't hiding. They're there. Imagine you've got a tree in your house, a Christmas tree. There's two people behind it. You're not going to miss that. It was really bad. Why not just have them as invisible? But they chose not to do that. It was ridiculous. Anyway, then this delivery driver comes in and Jackie's there, you know, the boss, and she's going, I can't take this. It's got a scratch on it. And I'm going to get this for free and I'm going to phone your boss and say you've been manhandling my deliveries. Now, the thing is, we saw her scratch it. Okay, it's just on the box. There's nothing wrong with the insides. Now, the delivery driver is a guy called Michael and he's also gay. And Todd tries to defend him. Have a listen to this.
What are you talking about? It's just...
Don't embarrass me, Todd. I have been tolerating you being queer since you were 8 years old. And now you're only defending this fairy because you...
Well, I am offended for everyone. Karen, can you not see what you're turning into?
It's better than who you are.
Yeah, so Todd's quit. And he walks out with the delivery driver. And pretty much this is the point where Karen hates gay people now as well. And she takes off the earring and suddenly they're back home. And she's like, hang on a minute, could we have hopped around from place to place anyway? And the Ghost of Christmas Past was like, yeah, we could have. So that's annoying as well. So not only did they not have to like catch the Uber, and there's one bit where they're walking for ages, didn't have to do any of that. They literally could have just hopped around thanks to the Ghost of Christmas. And I bet he could have made them invisible, although that's not something that happened. Yeah, that was the Ghost of Christmas Past. So did you see what they did there? It was really different with the fact that they're visible, and also she had to keep touching different places to go back to certain time periods. Okay, so now we're on to the Ghost of Christmas Present. And the Ghost of Christmas Present, she's an English actress, and she was born not far from me, actually. Probably about 20 miles. Yeah, not far at all. But she's got an Aussie accent in this. And that's not addressed at all. So I don't know if she's Australian, English or American. I don't know what's going on. I just know that she's the Ghost of Christmas Present. Now, here's the deal. With her, as long as Karen is touching her robe, she becomes invisible. And she can walk through walls. As soon as she lets go, suddenly everyone can see her. But this is the point, okay? This literally is the present. It's the same time in the story as it is where she... is going to these different places. It's not Christmas Day, it's Christmas Eve. She's not seeing how Christmas Day is spent. It's just the same evening. So the first thing they do is they go outside and the ghost is like, right, hold my robe, and they fly up into the air and then they come flying straight back down again and they're still in the same spot. And she's like, we haven't gone anywhere. She says, yes, we have. We've crossed the boundary line. Now we're in your neighbour's property. And they walk into her neighbour's house and they walk through the wall because she's holding the robe and she can be invisible. And they're there, and the little girl, whose name is Nia, and her dog, we find out, is called Dickens. Yeah, see what they did there? Very clever. And her mum's combing her hair and the hair's starting to come out. And we find out the little girl has leukemia. And the ghost explains to her that they're running out of money and the mum is selling all their possessions on eBay to get money for the little girl's meds. And that's why the little girl was out selling hot chocolate to try and earn some money. Anyway, then we cut to her brother's house. That's Todd, and he's with Michael. They're married now, the delivery man. And there's a bit where he toasts Karen, and everyone there gives a toast to Karen, which is just like Fred, you know, where everyone's there giving a toast to my Uncle Scrooge. Well, he's just toasting his sister Karen. And then afterwards, he's talking to Michael, and he's sort of saying about, well, she could be a bit of a... And then they all take it in turns to come up with different ideas of what kind of bitch she is, like Cruella de Vil or Ursula the Sea Witch, that sort of stuff. They're all slating her, and they're all sort of laughing. And then Michael takes him to one side and says, look, I know this isn't how you really feel. And it's funny, right? Because he takes him to one side. He doesn't take him to one side. It's almost like they're just in the middle of the room, and everyone else is just around him still. Like, why not just go in the kitchen? Or just literally take him to one side. But they don't. They're still right. Really annoyed me. It's like they're having a private word, but right in the middle of everything. Badly filmed. That's all I'm saying. But this is when we find out that Karen always defended Todd against their parents, who were really giving him a hard time for being gay. And the point we get is that eventually she resented Todd for all the abuse that her parents were giving her. Then the Ghost of Christmas Present calls her entitled and arrogant. And she's like, I'm not entitled and arrogant. And the Ghost of Christmas Present says this.
What have I ever said that is entitled or arrogant?
Can I see your manager?
Do you know how much money I spend at this place every week? You're in America!
Speak English! Go back to where you came from!
That doesn't apply to me.
I'm being discriminated against. Do you know who I am? All lives matter. You've lost my business forever.
A
I mean, really, have you listened to yourself, Karen? Like, really listened to yourself?
Yeah, which I thought was nice. You know, they sort of summed up what a Karen is in one long line. Then they go outside and Karen's like, I'm not flying anywhere anymore. She's like, no, it's fine. I've got this cart. And they get in the cart and they go to a place called Jeter Bend to go and see the lights. And Jeter Bend was a very famous street at Christmas in Florida where everyone would deck up their houses in loads of lights. It's actually a real place. And several of the houses on that street have actually been on that TV show, Battle of the Christmas Lights. Yeah. So anyway, they're at Jeter Bend and they find out that every night they have a different charity that they're raising money for. And the next night was going to be Nia's night, you know, her neighbour. But someone has reported this light thing as a nuisance to the council and they're going to shut it down. And it turns out this is the last night and they're there and they see this lady explaining to Nia's mummy that, yeah, sorry, but you're not going to get your money tomorrow because you've got to turn the lights off. And the sad thing is, 2022, the year this came out, was the last year that they did the lights on Jeter Bend. Anyway, then they go to the homeless mother's shelter. I probably should have mentioned this earlier. There was a bit when she was up at the till in that supermarket I mentioned, you know, where she was trying to use the old coupon. And the cashier says, oh, would you like to give a dollar to the single mother's homeless shelter? And Karen's like, no, I wouldn't. So anyway, then we go to the homeless mother's shelter and it turns out that Nia's dad runs it and he's coming out and it looks like he's going to have to shut it down because he's got no more money. They've run out of money there because she didn't give a dollar the day before. And they've got this like big container at the front with Toys for Joys on it. So it's kind of like Toys for Tots, but this is Toys for Joys. And this lady comes up and she's like, oh, could I put these in there? And he's like, oh, it's a bit late for that. And she's like, oh, no, it's not. And she opens the thing, puts the toys in there and closes it up. And after she drives off, the dad like tries to reach in and grab the presents, and the Ghost of Christmas Present clicks her fingers and the door to it opens and he actually takes the presents because he can't afford to buy presents for his little girl. So he just takes them. And Karen's really annoyed with him for stealing the presents, and he's annoyed at himself, you can tell. But then I suppose they were giving them to someone who couldn't afford presents, so it sort of makes sense. He just cut out the middleman. Anyway, then she goes home and we meet the Ghost of Christmas Future. His name's Damon and he's like an emo teenager. His thing is that wherever they go, they're invisible. So that's good. And she doesn't even have to be touching his robe. He isn't wearing a robe, he's wearing a hoodie, for her to be invisible. So I thought that was okay. The only difference is, instead of just travelling from place to place, in this one, they have to pass through the void. So they have to walk through a doorway, but the doorway's like all misty. So any doorway will do, as long as it's misty. That's the void. And at this point, Karen says, you guys need to standardise, referring to like the way they operate, these ghosts, which I think would be good, because I really wasn't impressed with the way they did it earlier. I know they were trying to make a joke of these things. Didn't find it funny, didn't really like it. I don't know if that's because I'm a purist or because I don't like crap. I'm not sure which it is. Anyway, so they go through the misty doorway and she's back in her own house. She's like, well, that didn't work. And then she walks into her living room and there's like a Mexican family sat there. And she's like, what are these Mexicans doing? And Damon's like, well, they're Puerto Rican, actually. And she's like, what are they doing in my house? And he's like, well, maybe it's not your house anymore. This is the future. And she's like, well, why are they still on my couch? I'd never sell my couch. And he's like, well, I don't know. And the Puerto Rican family are watching that version of A Christmas Carol. You know, the black and white one we said about earlier? Yeah, they're watching that. They go outside. It turns out the neighbour's house has been sold. And then the ghost tells her that they've gone forward 1 year in time. So in that time, her house has been sold. They go outside. A neighbour's house has been sold as well. And she's like, well, how come their house has been sold? He's like, well, we're going to have to go back a few weeks. So they go back a few weeks. And they're at the intensive care unit. And it turns out Nia's parents couldn't afford the meds, so Nia's passed away. And the mum is just crying her eyes out, which is not nice at all, actually. Then the ghost is like, right, now we're going forward a few weeks into the future. And what he means is a few weeks into the future from when Nia passed away. And the two friends that we saw right at the start, do you remember when she was outside the cafe drinking a cup of coffee with her friends? They're sat there talking about someone, saying, I don't know how she died, I'm just glad she's dead. And she's like, what? How could they be talking about young Nia like that? They didn't even know her, because she's an imbecile. I'll play that for you, have a listen.
I don't know much about it either, I only know she died.
When did she die?
Yesterday, I think.
It's going to be a cheap funeral, because I don't know anybody that would want to go to it.
I'd go if I knew they were feeding us. Now, I'm kidding. I wouldn't want anybody to see me there.
I wouldn't be caught dead there.
And then they go back to that supermarket again, and there's a bunch of people that she knows that we've never seen before or heard of before, and they're all talking about how happy they are that someone's passed away. She still thinks it's Nia, and it's funny because there's just to the side, there's the shop worker. Do you remember the guy I said about that was doing the bagging up of the groceries? He's there, and he's looking all sad, holding like a poinsettia. It's a pale poinsettia. It's not red. It's like yellowy. I'll come back to that. And Karen's saying, like, how come all these people are so happy that Nia's dead? And the ghost's like, look, someone else has died. It's you. Which I thought was interesting because, you know, in the book, and I've talked about this in recent episodes, the whole point is that Scrooge has no idea who everyone's talking about. But in this one, the ghost tells her outright, yeah, it's you. You're dead. And everyone's talking about you. And she finds this out and she sort of collapses. And then she wakes up again and they're at the morgue. And she's in her casket, not coffin. Thanks for that, Bob. She's in her casket and she's wearing a tracksuit. And she's like, why am I wearing a tracksuit? And we find out, well, I'll play it for you.
Yeah, well, the tracksuit, the staff here wanted to make it look like you passed away working out. When, in fact, you electrocuted yourself drinking margaritas.
So, this is the funeral, and there's no one there at all. And she's like, no one came at all. He goes, well, someone cared. And he points to that poinsettia, the one we saw a minute ago, at the supermarket. And this must mean something. And I won't lie to you, I didn't barely even noticed it on the first watching. Second watching, I became a bit more aware of what was going on. The third watching, I paid very close attention to it. Yeah. So I'm thinking, ah, right, yeah, this guy clearly liked her, the one that worked in the supermarket. Wonder what's going to happen there. We'll wait and see. So then Nia's mum and dad turn up, our neighbours, and they're just like there to pay their respects. And then Todd turns up with Michael, and they're there to pay their respects as well. And it's like, hang on a minute, all the people she thought were her friends aren't there, but the gays and the blacks, they are there. Hold on a minute, Karen, what's going on? And at this point, allow me to point out that I wasn't impressed with the timeline of this. Her house was sold pretty much around the same time as her funeral. That's how quickly it was sold. Yeah, I'm not sure if that would happen. Like probate and all that sort of stuff can take ages. But that's what happened. Anyway, then there's the bit where she pleads with the ghost, and I'm going to play this for you because I quite liked it. Have a listen.
Look, I get it. I'll try not to be so Karen-ish. I promise to never ask for a manager ever again. No more threatening to sue children. And I won't tell people to go back to their country. Please, don't leave me like this.
And now she wakes up. Right, so, the funny thing with this is, and when I say funny, ain't funny at all. It's still like a good 20-odd minutes left at this point. And the film's only just over an hour and a half. So there's a lot of it left, just for the redemption bit. So there's a boy skateboarding past that side. And we found out earlier, I didn't mention this, couldn't be bothered, that Nia, the little girl, wanted a skateboard. So Karen runs that side, asks him what day it is. Of course, he doesn't say Walker. And she buys a skateboard off him for $300. It's in pretty good nick. It's not brand new. He didn't get it for Christmas. We established that. But she still buys it, $300 for a skateboard, because she's got money coming out of her ears, apparently. Then she goes to the supermarket again, and we have a dance number. And the Uber that drops her off is the same guy that kicked her out of it the night before. And they have this big dance number, and at the start, the guy hands her a trolley, and it's the guy that took the poinsettia to her funeral. Yeah, he's clearly madly in love with her. Well, hold on, where will this lead? So she's dancing around the supermarket with loads of other people, and then she goes to pay, and she donates $5,000 to the single mum's homeless shelter, and she also gives $100 each to the cashier and the assistant manager. Yeah, the people for the day before that hated her. And there's a funny bit when she gets the assistant manager, she goes, it's all right, I'll get the assistant manager, and she grabs the tannoy and she says this.
Assistant manager to register for, and Merry Christmas, everyone, even the Muslims, I see you.
I'm Hindu, happy day of Christ.
Anyway, then she goes around her brother's for breakfast, and there's a massive apology, and that's all really nice. Everything's been redeemed, and that's all good, and they love each other again. And then she starts talking about her neighbours, and she says, oh, I want you to meet my little neighbour Nia. She's a real doll. And then she thinks, doll. So now, This is the very end bit. Don't worry, we're getting there. I know it's gone a long time. I'm not impressed with it either. She goes round to her neighbour's house, right? And Nia's there. And just before she turns up, they found out that $5,000 has been donated to the homeless shelter, which was going to get shut down. But now they've got enough money to keep it going for a bit longer. Hooray. I have no idea where Karen's money's come from. She's got this lovely big house with a swimming pool in the back garden. And I don't know what her job is. I don't know if she's still working at the beauty parlour. But she's given away $5,000 and $300 for a skateboard. So I don't know where the money's coming from. I do not know. Anyway, she says to Nia's dad, Nia, bring the boxes in from the front. So he starts bringing in box after box after box. And she says, there's toys in here, but they're not toys for you, Nia. And it turns out these boxes are filled with Steiff Bears, Hummels and Beanie Babies and Cabbage Patch Dolls. And she says to the mum, look, I've heard you sell stuff on eBay. Remember that? Yeah, that's a callback. I want you to sell this stuff for me. And she's like, what? So you want me to take a percentage? And she says, no, I want you to have it all and just sell it all and get Nia well again. And I won't lie to you, I did start getting a bit emotional at this scene. And the mum's like, I can't do it for nothing. And in the end, they decide to do it 50-50. And I'm thinking, no, Karen, they were just going to sit in the boxes. You haven't got any kids of your own. Let them have all the money. I don't know how much our meds are, but I don't imagine they're cheap. Anyway, the very end of it, she says, oh, I've got a present for Nia. She goes outside and they all come outside and she gets the skateboard. And this is the best bit in the whole film, right? She hands the skateboard over. And on the underside of the skateboard, it's a picture of like an anime woman with big boobs. Yeah, it's really funny. She hands that to the little girl. I like that. And that's nearly how it ends. Then it goes into the house and cuts to the TV where they're watching that black and white version of A Christmas Carol. Tiny Tim says, God bless us, everyone. And the screen pans out. And who should be stood there with Scrooge but the ghost of Christmas past, present and yet to come. There they all are. Yeah, dressed in Victorian clothes with Scrooge. So there you go. That happened. Yeah, I hope that didn't bore you too much. You know, it's probably hard to keep track of what's going on. I'm doing my best to explain it all to you. But really, I was just trying to pick out the main bits. The whole bit with that guy that worked in the supermarket, for some reason, he seems to be in love with her. Nothing ever came of that. I would have thought at least at the end, maybe, after she was at the supermarket giving $100 to the assistant manager and the cashier, she could have said, just giving him a wink or something, or just said something like, oh, you know, you're a handsome man, do you want my number? You know, just something like that. So there was a payoff. Do you know what I mean? There was no payoff. Just generally, it just wasn't that funny. You could tell it was trying to be funny, but it wasn't that funny. The interesting thing, I think, was the way they handled the ghosts and whether she was invisible or not. I'm not going to advise you to watch it, but if you do want to, it's called A Christmas Karen, and I watched it on Amazon. I'm not sure where you'll find it, but, you know, Google it. It's out there. If my endorsement isn't enough, I can tell you it scored 5 out of 10 on IMDb. Yeah, A Christmas Karen, another version that I've had to sit through. Now let's do this. Okay, before I tell you this hilarious joke, and I just did the old air quotes over hilarious then, just a little one. I don't know if you know what bogeys are. In the States, they call them boogers. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Right, are you ready? What's the difference between Brussels sprouts and bogeys? Kids love eating bogeys. That's not a bad one, actually. That's not a bad one. You'll be using that. I'll be using that. That's a good joke. And don't pretend you didn't find it funny. Don't pretend you're not there laughing away at that one. Okay, because that was a good one. Thank you.
Book review.
Okay, boys and girls, in the last episode, I don't know if you remember, but I was giving away some books. They were the Biblioasis Seth's Christmas Ghost Stories books. I said to you, if you want to win them, all you got to do is send me the words, yeah, I'll have them. Now, a couple of people tweaked it a bit. Someone said have with an H. I don't want to penalise anyone for these mistakes, but I was quite clear on how I wanted them to be spelt. Okay? So you've let yourselves down, but I'm still including you in the hat. The first time I did this, I think I only had 2 people. This time, I've got a staggering 13. Yeah, number 13 could be unlucky for some. I can tell you, it'll be unlucky for 12 of you, because only one person's going to win. Now, I have a special guest star here. You're probably familiar with her work. She's one of the hosts of I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. And her name is...
Juno.
Now, Juno, have you been practicing reaching in the hat and taking out names?
No.
Well, I hope you've got the skills to do this task. So, take your hand. Hold on, what? You're going to use your left hand? Why?
Right.
You're gonna use your right?
Yeah.
Okay. Reach into the hat. She's reaching it. Oh, she's rustling them. She's rustling them. And she's chosen one. Okay, here we go. The winner is... You gonna try and read it?
Nicola... Nicola... Melly.
And that's a C. It's Mc...
McLean.
Yeah, it's Nicola McLean, I think. It could be Nicola McLean. I'm not sure how clean she is or how clean she is. But the winner today is Nicola McLean. Yeah, well done, Nicola. I've already emailed her, to be honest, boys and girls. When you hear this, I've already emailed her. I haven't emailed her before. I just took the name out because we only just did it, didn't we, Juno?
Yeah.
But congratulations, Nicola.
Congratulations, Nicola.
Yeah, I'll be sending those books out as soon as you get back to me, really. So I'll send out the email right now. By the time you hear this on the podcast, hopefully those books will be winging their way to you in time for Christmas. Now, if you didn't win, why not Google Biblioasis Seth's Christmas Stories and the books will come up. There's 29 in the series, and maybe you want to start your own Christmas tradition. They're lovely little books, and you know, you could buy one each year, and every year you've got a new story to read. What do you think, Juno?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, while you're here, Juno, did you want to talk about your podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to say?
It's called I Not Complain with Robin and Juno.
And what happens on this podcast?
We tell stories about things that happen.
Things that happen?
Yeah.
I see. Anything else you talk about?
We talk about holiday when we've been on holiday.
Yeah, don't tell them that, because that's boring. They'll be like, oh, I don't want to hear about some little kid's boring holiday. Tell them the exciting things.
We do facts about farts. We do book reviews. And we do jokes. And we do movie quotes.
Do you want to give us a movie quote now, while you're here?
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to do the one from Princess Bride? Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Okay, then, go.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That was fantastic. So there you go, boys and girls. If you're not listening to the girls' podcast, that's the sort of stuff you're missing out on. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
How many listeners you got then, Juno?
Over 100.
No, you haven't. You got less than me. Can you believe that? And I've only got 3.
Do you actually?
Well, sometimes it's 4.
Oh.
Yeah, which means you've got less than 4.
3?
So, anything else you want to say?
No.
Okay, well, there you go, boys and girls. Thank you, Juno. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. And well done, Nicola McLean.
Yeah, well done, Nicola McLean, or Clean. Now let's do this. Bob, you look splendid.
Thanks, Jack. This episode, we are going to get down and dirty. Well, at least our hands will. In honor of our good friend and host, Jack, today's effort to spread a smile of joy is to create a garden to share. This concept is inspired by the incredible edibles movement, where people across the world are creating shared gardens to bring communities together to grow healthy food. Now, this is just a personal version, where you create a small pot or a bed of herbs, vegetables, or even plants and flowers for people to help themselves to the fruit of your labor. You need to make it accessible to the public and to put a sign up so people know what it is and that it is there for the taking. And that it is free. This is a way for you to spread joy through your own dirty work. Now, if you've dug up another way to spread some joy, you shovel it to Jack, he'll plant it with me, and together we'll spread our arms and our gardens around the world.
That was another nice one, as always, wasn't it? Every one of these is a lovely idea. Yeah, it was a good one. Well done, Bob. Every episode, I talk about Bob's podcast, and I hope you're listening to it. If you're not, it's called Festive Foreign Film Fans, where him and his mate Mark talk about foreign films that are about Christmas. I listened to the most recent one about Singapore, and it made me think, you know what? I haven't even thought about Christmas in Singapore. There's so many countries that I haven't covered. In fact, my latest Christmas all over the world is in England. So, yeah. Maybe I should start thinking about this. Thing is, after Bob's done an episode, then I think, well, I don't want to talk about Singapore because he's just covered it. But anyway, it's a great show. Festive Foreign Film Fans, I think you'll enjoy it. Check it out. Now we're doing this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Boys and girls, it's time for the quiz. Everyone's favourite part of the show. Unless you don't like it, then it's not your favourite. That's how things work. Last episode, I had the lovely Jeannie Mulligan on, and she scored 5, and I've had other scores sent in, and David Ferguson, he of the new Santa costume, he scored 3/4. David, I don't know why you're not sure if it's 3 or 4, but I'm going to give you 4. That's because it's Christmas. Also with 4 was Jack Unverforth. Benji Pearson and Katie Gibson both scored 5, the same as Jeannie last week. And then I had a new listener, Martin Goodman from Essex in the UK, scored 9, suggesting that it is a bit of a Brit-centric quiz. And I scored, I don't know if you remember, but I scored 10, all right? I'm not bragging about it, but, you know, I'm great because I got 10, so there's that. A couple of people that sent me their scores last episode didn't send them this episode. I don't know if that's because they're ashamed of what they scored. I don't know. But they didn't send them in. Anyway, right, so let's get on with this episode's quiz. I'm hoping you're not going to think this is a bit Brit-centric. The first question certainly isn't. In the lyrics of the Dickie Valentine's 1955 number one Christmas alphabet, what does the letter T stand for? You know that song? C is for the something something, la 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 la. Doody-ba-ba-dibba-da-ba-dab. See, I know all the words, so I definitely know what T stands for. Number 2, which singer who used to front the Eurythmics was born in Aberdeen on Christmas Day 1954? So the Christmas aspect is that she was born on Christmas Day. But also, she had a Christmas album, which I didn't care for, but there's that. Christmas. Question number 3. Hey Mr. Christmas was a hit for which rock and roll revival group in 1974? Okay, that's 1974. This band had a hit. It was called Hey Mr. Christmas. I read the question. I have to tell you again. I'll be amazed if anyone gets that one, to be honest. Question number something. In which 1944 film does Judy Garland sing, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas? Next one. In Catalonia, our Cagana is the name of a figurine who features in nativity scenes. What is El Cagana, or Caganer, I don't know. What's he doing? What is El Cagana doing? What is he up to? Hey? Okay. Question number something. What colour Christmas did Elvis Presley sing about in 1964? That's an easy one, isn't it? Yeah, easy. 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 Question number... On average, the most money spent on Christmas gifts in 2021 in the UK was on what? Was it toys, consumer electronics, or clothing? Which one of those three are you going to go for? Okay? Okay. Question number something. At the 32nd meeting of the World Santa Claus Conference in Copenhagen in 1995... all member states except Finland agreed that all letters to Santa should be addressed to where? Where should you send your letters to? Huh? Well, I know where Finland think you should send them. Yeah. Question number, I don't know. As in the title of a 1988 film starring Jim Varney as an Orlando taxi driver in the title role, who saves Christmas? Whom? In fact, saves Christmas. And is that the last one already? Really? Oh, there you go. Last one then. In 1962, who had the original hit with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree? Who had the original hit? Okay? Okay. Well, that's your 10 questions. That was simple enough, wasn't it? Are you ready for your 10 answers? I don't care. They're coming Anyway, question numero uno. In the lyrics of Dickie Valentine's 1955 number one Christmas alphabet, what does the letter T stand for? Well, I'll tell you, boys and girls, I put tree. But the answer is toys. Beneath the tree so tall. But it was toys. T is for the toys, kids. It's not for the tree. Question number two. Which singer who used to front the Eurythmics was born in Aberdeen on Christmas Day 1954? That was Annie Lennox. Okay, and if you didn't get that, that's your problem, not mine. I got it right. Definitely not my problem. Question number three. Hey Mr. Christmas was a hit for which rock and roll revival group in 1974? Do you know what? I'm there thinking, I know this one. I'm thinking, because there was a bit of a thing in like the late 70s, early 80s. There was a couple of bands that came out, like releasing songs from the 50s and 60s. And they were like a rock and roll revival. And this was one of those groups. And I can't believe I don't get it. They were called, are you ready? Shawaddy Waddy. And you're probably there going, the Waddy Waddy? I said Shawaddy Waddy. Yeah, they had loads of hits. I think they only had one number one. But my mum had the cassette tape of one of their albums. It might have been their greatest hits. I don't know. And we played that thing to death. Yeah, but Hey Mr. Christmas wasn't on there. But I did know that they sung it, but not when the quiz came around. So I didn't get that one either. So far I've got one out of three, which I'm not happy about. But don't worry, I'm going to turn it around with the next one. Because I know which 1944 film Judy Garland sung Have Yourself a Mabba-dabba-dabba. And that was, of course, Meet Me in Saint Louis. And I don't know if she did meet Louis in Saint. I don't know if they met up there or not. I don't even know where Saint is. But if she met Louis in Saint, I bet they had a merry little Christmas. Question number, I don't know. In Catalonia, our Cagana is the name of a figurine which features in nativity scenes. What is Cagana doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's doing a poo. Yep, he's doing a poo. That's a fact. The Cagana is a little figurine they put in the corner of the nativity scenes doing a poo, just to lower the tone. How do you think baby Jesus feels about that? Not only has he been born in a stable, in a manger for his bed, some bloke comes in and poos in a corner. I suppose the animals are doing it, but that's no excuse. Don't lower yourself to the level of the animals. And most animal poo isn't that bad, you know. I'd much rather eat a horse poo than a human poo. Ideally, I wouldn't eat either, but you know. Anyway, goodness. Anyway, what colour Christmas did Elvis Presley sing about in 1964? Well, we all know he sang Yeah, blue is what I was singing there. Question number, I don't know. On average, the most money spent on Christmas gifts in 2021 in the UK was on what? Was it toys, consumer electronics, or clothing? I went consumer electronics because I figure per item, the money's going to be a lot more. And I was correct. Aren't I smug? Yes, I am. Question number, I don't know. At the 32nd meeting of the World Santa Claus Conference in Copenhagen in 1995, all member states except Finland agreed that all letters to Santa should be addressed to where? And the answer, of course, is the North Pole. Yeah, everyone knows Santa lives at the North Pole, apart from the Finns, because they think he lives in Lapland. And I'll tell you something, that's a big thing, actually. People go into Lapland to see Santa, and it costs thousands. I kid you not, thousands, just for like a weekend to go and see him. Yeah, we looked into booking it, actually, a couple of years ago, and in the end it was like, I'm not spending that sort of money. I think how much alcohol I could buy with that money. And I could drown my sorrows because I couldn't afford to go to Finland. So that's what we did. I spent $2,000 on beer, and to be honest, I don't remember much about it. For all I know, I did end up in Finland. That's how drunk I could have been. Question number, I do not know. As in the title of a 1988 film starring Jim Varney as an Orlando taxi driver in the title role, whom saves Christmas? And the answer, of course, was Ernest. And I'll tell you something, kids, I ain't seen it. In fact, I think the only Ernest film I've ever seen was Ernest Goes to Camp. Yeah, they're not big in the UK at all. But there you go, I know that one's a popular one in the States. The last one, in 1962, who had the original hit with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree? And the answer, of course, is Lee Brenda. There you go. Oh, hang on, wait a minute. Brenda Lee. There you go. That's your 10 questions. Do you know what I scored, kids? I got 8. I didn't get Shawaddy Waddy, and I didn't get toys. Yeah, you know why I didn't get toys? Because I was a bad boy. I've got a lump of coal. Ha! Right, well, you know what to do, kids. You've got to send in your scores so I can read them out. If you don't send in your scores, I can't read them out, can I? No, I cannot. Remember, you don't have to send in some big message saying, "Dear Jack, I've always been a fan of your podcast. I assume that you're a very handsome man. I also like other stuff, but Christmas is a thing. La 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 la, I scored this." You just send the number. That's what Benji Pearson does every week. He just sends 5, it was this week. Just sends the number. That's all you got to do. Other people might put other stuff like rubbish show, but here's my score. You can if you want to, but if you don't want to, literally one number and the email address, totalchristmas@gmail.com. That's it. Do it now. Right now. I'll wait. I won't wait. I'm moving on. It's time for this. So, boys and girls, for the last 3 episodes, we've had the lovely Jeannie Mulligan on. First 2 times she came on, we were talking about Christmas in Ireland. Last time, she was having a go at the quiz. This time, she's going to be telling us about how she found out about Santa Claus. Now, here's the deal. This could be the last time she's on for a little while, because this is the last of what we recorded when we spoke. But we've been emailing and she might be coming on again one more time before Christmas to tell us about this year's Crimbo Sambo competition. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that, but she talked about how a lot of stores in the UK have pre-packaged sandwiches that are Christmas themed, and she does a taste test and picks her favourites. So she's going to be coming on, hopefully, just before Christmas with that, you lucky people. But right now, she's telling us about Santa. Here she comes. Okay, so boys and girls, you heard her in a previous episode. She's back again, you lucky people. I've got the lovely Jeannie Mulligan, and she's going to tell us about how she found out about Santa Claus. So take it away, Jeannie.
Okay, so I was 8 years old, which is...
Oh, you remember your age? You were definitely...
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember my age. I was in second class in school, and I was 8 years old. And myself and my dad loved Christmas. We'd start singing the Christmas songs from like about September. We'd have my mom gone insane. But anyway, yeah. So we were sitting and we were playing cards, myself and my dad. And I was like, "Everyone in school is saying that Santa's not real, Daddy. Like, what's the story?" And then he was like, "Yeah, no, he's not." I was like, "What?" And I was just waiting for him to be like, "Jesus, that's ridiculous. Of course he's real." And I was like, "Oh, what?" And he goes, "Yeah, no, he's not. Like, it's me and Mommy." And I'm like, "Oh my God." I was devastated. I was only 8. And I don't think my mum knew he was going to tell me. So I think she was really annoyed with him for telling me.
I'm right.
But I was really like, I was the youngest in my family by like, there's 5 of us in my family, and the eldest is like 14 years older than me. So, you know, they would have all known, you know, a long time. The next one to me was 7 years older than me. So they would have all known.
This is like a big gap. Big gap.
Yeah, I was a little Christmas surprise. So so there was like 4 together, and then I came along. So they would have all known. And I think the others were really disappointed that I knew then, because it was nice for them, for me to have Santa coming. But my mum was really pissed at my dad over it.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, 8. Yeah. I think I was a bit young. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
I was about that age, but we just went at my mum with it. We just over and over. I might have been younger. Maybe my brother was 8. I'm not sure. But we just went at her. And it's just like, you know, "We know something." And it's just like, "All right, he's not." And that was it. And it's like, when she said, I was like, "Oh, no."
It's terrible. You want to know, but you don't want to know.
No, that's it. Yeah. I'm going to keep it going.
Oh, same.
They'll know eventually. I think Robin's got inklings anyway. So they'll know. It's not like they won't know. And then it's just, you just keep the magic alive for, you know, and just, you play dumb, you know, don't you?
Yeah. I agree, and I'm very much like, you know, we believe in the magic. In the magic of Santa. So that's how I'm going to do it, that I'm never going to admit. Right. Never. No.
Yeah. Probably said this on the show before. I always make a stocking up for the wife and I put that at the end of the bed. But in the old days, it was like I'd get up really early and go and get it. But now I just sort of get it out in the morning, like before we go to bed on Christmas Eve, and just chuck it at the end of the bed. She's used to it now.
That's so nice, though. That's really lovely.
Well, it's a pain in the backside having to go and buy all this different stuff, because every year I'm trying to think of decent things that she'd like in there. Because that's not a Christmas present, that's just, you know, the...
But they're the more thoughtful things that I'm sure she loves, that it's like all the little knick-knacky things that you have to put more thought in than the actual big present that you're going to give her.
Nah, she wants the big stuff. She wants the big ticket items. Well... thank you for sharing that, Jeannie. Yeah, it's an interesting story. I can't believe that's all it took, just asking him. He's like, yeah, that was it. There you go.
I know. So sad.
Well, thanks for being on. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is Christmas Clatter Podcast. Now, I've recommended this at least once before, possibly twice before, and I was actually on the show last year. Yeah, now, it's not been around this year. It's only just come back. I saw the post on Facebook, and I was really glad it had come back, because after my episode, there was only two more last year, up to Christmas, and then nothing. And I'm thinking, did I break his show? Was I that bad on there that he's given up? Well, he hasn't given up, because it's back, boys and girls. I like Christmas Clatter. I tell you what I like about it. The host, Todd Killian, has got the most laid-back, relaxed manner you could find. His voice is so relaxed. I love listening to his show. He talks about all sorts on there. Anything to do with Christmas, really. Kind of like this show, but different. If you want to check it out, shouldn't have trouble finding it. Just type in Christmas Clatter Podcast. It'll turn up. And the host is Todd Killian. So if you've not listened before... check it out, because it's back, baby. It's back. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I want to say a big thank you to Bob, of course. Got to say thank you again to Jeannie for sharing her story with us, and everyone that had a go at winning those books. Sorry if you didn't win, but congratulations to Nicola McLean, or McLean. It's spelt clean. I'm guessing it's clean. I don't know. If you want to get in touch, all you got to do is email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com. Don't forget, I want to hear your quiz scores, so make sure you send those through. totalchristmas@gmail.com. Or you can go on the website, totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
I would like to propose a toast, if I may. Here's to my new family and friends. Aww. Thank you. Thank you for making me feel so welcome. Salud.